have Katie George, who is a resident who is campaigning against what the proposed North East Link will do to her suburb. And I think she is part of a... I sort of had the group here, although she can probably...
Save Banyule Tunnel Not Trench group.
Yep, that's the group. Okay. So, yeah, I'll pass it on to Megan. And, yeah, Katie, can you hear us? It's all good?
Yes, it's great. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So, good morning, Katie. Thank you for coming on the show. So, your group, Save Banyule Tunnel Not Trench, is opposed to a section of the proposed North East Link project, specifically the trench through Banyule. Can you describe the trench and explain why you're opposed to it?
Yes, sure. So, I suppose the first thing that I'll do is just clarify that the Save Banyule Tunnel Not Trench is a campaign that's supported by multiple groups that are local to the area. One of those groups is Friends of Banyule, and there's another group that is supported by community and also local traders in the area, and that's called Smarter Way. So the trench is proposed by the North East Link reference design, and they keep calling it a reference design. You may have seen it reported in the media, and that's what the local councils are actually opposing in principle, because it's really hard to understand what the impacts will be from an environmental assessment perspective, just based on a concept. But the trench in the reference design proposes a divide that will split the municipality of Banyule in half by between 60 metres at the north end of the trench and up to 100 metres at the southern end of the trench. So the divide is a massive concern for the local community, particularly a lot of us are already having trouble trying to cross Greensborough Road as it is, which is the main route that the trench will follow. And there haven't been any resolutions that have been proposed by North East Link prior to the environment effects statement process and the hearings that went through that actually resolved this problem. So we've got... significant detrimental impacts from Watsonia all the way down to Yulambi, which is where I live. I actually have lived in the municipality for my entire life and live and work in the local area. We shop at Watsonia Activity Centre at the local shopping village, and that's under threat. So that stands to lose about 60% of its custom from the eastern side of the suburbs, and that means that some of the businesses will close and some of the jobs will go, and that's local families. And for residents, we're facing upwards of 7 years of really invasive surface work construction because of the methodology that's been proposed by, this reference design in the trench. So we're in favour of the IAC recommendation, that's the Independent Inquiry and Advisory Committee of experts that put recommendations to the Minister, including the case for a longer tunnel that goes all the way from Grimshaw Street south instead of this disaster trench that we're facing, and proposing to bore the tunnel, which will reduce the surface impacts by about 83%.
Now, I guess that leads into my next question, because you've previously said save our homes, our environment and our health. I mean, I guess with the construction and with what's happening, can you elaborate on this and what you mean?
Yeah, sure. So health is a big concern for us. What we don't know is what the plan is for the management of contaminated and acid sulfate soils that are proposed to be coming from this construction of the entire project. So there's about 3.3 million cubic metres of soil that either is contaminated or needs to be treated. And there's no plan at the moment on how that will happen. And to sort of illustrate, I suppose, the urgent and immediate nature of that concern, the bottom of my driveway has a beautiful reserve called Borlase Reserve on it. That was a landfill in the 1950s. And in the 1950s, people could dump whatever they liked, wherever they liked, in whatever local tip they could have close to them, including building materials. And one of the most prolific building materials in the 1950s was asbestos. So the contractors who are responsible for what they call early works, which is to relocate services such as gas power, electric, and water. I think there's seven services in total. They're proposing to move these out of the way, which includes excavation works on the reserve at the bottom of my driveway. They haven't been able to guarantee that me and my family with young children won't be exposed to dust from that excavation work. And I've said that if they can't guarantee our safety during construction, that's a really massive concern. And we've requested community meeting to get explanations from them on what their plans are. And they've deliberately downplayed the risk of exposure to dust from contaminated spoils. So this is what we're dealing with at the moment. Not to mention, you know, the health impacts of living next to major roads. We know that there's no safe level of particulate matter from emissions from living next to major roads, and we know that diesel fumes are really, really bad. And having an open cut trench with the fumes that just spew forth from all of the truck traffic that's proposed to be in it, I think that the there's a prediction that the worst air pollution impacts are north of Yalambi Road in my suburb. And there's large sections of the community that still have no idea that this is what they're facing.
Yeah, so Sam, I understand you're going to be personally severely impacted by this. So, you know, it's the risk of exposure to asbestos and whatever particulate matter that's been dumped in that area. And then also, obviously, the fumes from the trench that's going to come up. Is there anything else that, you know, that you can detail, you know, what might happen to you and your family with regards to this construction and this trench?
Yeah, so at the moment, our home does not fall inside what they call the project area boundary. So that means that we're excluded from compulsory acquisition, which, you know, there's two schools of thought on that. One is that it's nice to be able to have a choice to stay in our house. But the reality is we don't actually have a choice to stay in our home because they're not going to be able to make it livable. So we need to go, and we know that we need to go before early works start in 6 weeks. I've been in conversations with North East Link now since April last year when I first found out that what they had originally told me in 2017 about not being impacted was false. And through those conversations, I've been asking for honesty about how we stand to be impacted, and we were pushed at the beginning to participate in the EES process because what they said was this reference design will change. The contractors, they were hoping, would do a better job and deliver a much more superior design. They actually described the reference design as the worst case scenario. And they did not at any time mention that we were going to be impacted by early works. It was just that we noticed some spray paint and construction activity, investigative works activity at the bottom of our driveway, which prompted us to follow up with them and say, what's going on and why is this happening now? Because we didn't expect that anything would be happening for another 12 months. So that was when we found out that we were going to be impacted by early works as soon as April this year. They knew that back in April last year, and they explained that they deliberately withheld that information because they didn't know exactly what the impacts were going to be from early works, and we've paid the price of the cost of time for being able to plan to get out. So the conversation at the moment sits around temporary relocation options for us. So I'm a family of five, and as are many of my neighbours. They have young children. And we've been offered an arrangement of going into like an apartment style, a two-bedroom apartment style accommodation for up to 28 days, which doesn't suit our needs. And for anything that's longer term, they are reliant on the current rental market vacancies, and there's no confirmation yet on who will pay for what. Who will be on the lease. So potentially the latest proposal that I had was I would need to be on the lease as a tenant in addition to being financially responsible for paying my mortgage and relying on their good graces to make good on the payments for the rental that we might find We're responsible for finding something that's in similar condition and with similar amenity as our current home, but that's, subject to the approval of the authority.
A couple of weeks.
I've got 6 more weeks to find somewhere to live for my family because are going to progress with these works and they won't stop.
And so this means that you and your neighbours are facing the same sort of situation.
Absolutely. There's approximately 20 homes in my street alone, and we know that whatever happens to us now will set the precedent for how everybody else is impacted by this project. Now, at the EES hearings, North East Link said that they mailed out to 300,000 residences up and down the corridor that they expect to be impacted. And looking at the Bureau of Statistics, it works out to about 700,000 people who are impacted. And there's no plan.
And there doesn't seem to be any kind of organised program. It seems to be that you have to tease this information out of them, and on your side you have to work to get this, sorted?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm up to about 1,000 hours of my own personal time over the last 10 or so months trying to sort this out. And there's still no plan. The ministers come out and the CEO, Duncan Elliott, comes out and says quite regularly that they're in one-on-one discussions with families like mine and that, we're being looked after, but the reality is we're not. Mm. We have been advised that we will be eligible for what they call a voluntary purchase scheme. So that's similar to a compulsory acquisition arrangement. But the nuance of that is in our case, we wouldn't get enough to be able to resettle in the same area. So we would be priced out of the property market and we would never be able to afford to buy back in, and we're being forced into a position potentially of surrendering our status as homeowners and having to go back to renting. So it's really serious, and I can't understate just how awful this is.
Of course. And now you've previously stated that these early works must not be undertaken until the final design is known for the main project. Now you've touched on this before, but has the community not been informed about the final design? Was the one that you mentioned the actual final design and they didn't tell you? Or how do you feel your community's been listened to? I mean, I believe the North East Link Authority has deliberately withheld information from the community. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right, and is accurately reflective of my experience, particularly in the situation of early works. So the final design of the road continues to remain unknown. There are two consortia bidding at the moment for what they call the primary package works, and that will be to construct the final form of what their design is for the road, which will... North East Link says will not be the reference design. Now, the problem that we've got is the early works to relocate all the services. We can't figure out how anyone can know where those services need to go to before all of the final design of the road is actually known. Mm. And the contract for the early works was awarded during the EES hearings before the public had actually been heard and before the independent Inquiry and Advisory Committee had an opportunity to assess all of the information and provide recommendations to the Minister. So the whole process was hijacked, I think, is probably the right word. Mm. The community, even now, there are people in the community that say, oh, I can't believe that this whole process was developed on the basis of artist impressions, and that's effectively a good description of the situation. So when people say artist impressions, there are a whole bunch of glossy artist impression marketing material that was put to the community in September 2018 that has, it's available online on the North East Link website, but you can see as soon as you open it up, there's what they call green bridges that they put in as an alternate design when concerns about the east-west divide through Banyule were raised. And these green bridges, they have images of people walking and cycling with traffic running below them through the trench, traffic either side of them and traffic front and back. and they're presenting it as some kind of a place that people would actually want to be. The marketing campaign, I think, has been really effective. The Northeast Link call it a consultation campaign, but the community weren't listened to. The community liaison group for the northern section, which is where we are, put their case very strongly, reflecting that the community didn't want this massive trench. What they actually wanted was a longer tunnel. And the first opposition that Northeast Link threw up about the longer tunnel proposal was that there was a gas line in the way, and they're now looking to move that gas line as part of early works. So there's been various arguments that were put forward in opposition to the idea of a longer tunnel that have just been false. You know, there was an argument that it was going to cost $1.5 billion extra to tunnel, I think it's an extra 3 kilometres, and that it was going to take an extra 1.5 years. Now, the cost of the project hasn't been appropriately put. They haven't factored in compensation, the cost of relocation for families like mine, the cost to people's health. This trench is going to be close to lots of schools, kindergartens, aged care homes, and people who are vulnerable to air quality degradation. And, you know, when you start to think about what the actual impacts are and how that hasn't been costed into their reference design compared to the proposal of the longer trench, we've fully costed the longer trench and we say that it's comparable. Regarding the time factor, it's not disruptive time. So you're not looking at an extra 1.5 years of more construction work at the surface that's really disruptive, that keeps people awake at night, that has, you know, 600 spoil trucks a day going up and down Greensboro Road on top of what's already there, with the main road going down to one lane either way for extended periods of time. A bored tunnel, you set up the machines, you launch the machines and they just go. And when where it's further north, the spoil trucks can access the Western Ring Road, or sorry, the Metropolitan Ring Road, directly from where the tunnel site's launched. So they're actually, it's a much better outcome for community.
Yeah. Katie, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for your input today. Is there any sort of last minute thing that you want to say that you haven't maybe said before, or just to recap the campaign?
Yes, please. So you can find quite a bit of activity on Friends of Banyule's Facebook page if people would like some more information. There's also a website, www.thesmarterway.net, that has specific information about the longer tunnel design. I would be happy to connect with anybody who wants some further information. We're asking for people to write to the ministers, your local MPs, and your local council. There are four councils that are actually taking Supreme Court action to challenge this reference design. So throw them your support, get on the phone, go and sit in your local MP's office, and get behind the campaign.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Katie, for your time, and we wish you good luck with your campaign.